All right, welcome to Bloomington Buddies, where two buddies talk about all things sports. I'm Eddie Finn, joined here by Quincy Bell in the studio. Guys, we finally got into the studio. We've been telling you guys for a while. Our plan was to finally get into a recording studio, have a little bit more professional equipment, have a little bit better quality, and we are finally out of the teeter study pods,
that
Quincy. It's finally done.
Bad. That was bad.
It was a rough moment in our lives. We definitely had some technical difficulties, but we finally gotten out. So we're going to go ahead and get ready with our first episode, where we are using professional equipment, so it'll sound a lot better. Editing will be a lot smoother. But today, we're going to cover quite a few topics. We're going to start off with college football. We had a lot go down this weekend, including quite a few upsets that I know you're really desperate to talk about here. We're also then going to move into the NFL, where we also had quite a few big games. Lots of moments where we could tell that me and Quincy just kind of texted back and forth, and all we said was, wow. There was a lot of those texts exchanged this weekend.
For sure.
And then we are going to try to get in like a couple minutes of MLB, and then we're going to introduce a brand new topic, which I'm calling this week's duh moments, which is just all the stupidest moments we've seen in sports so far this week. But before we get into today's show, today I do want to go ahead and talk about, make sure to go ahead and head over to Instagram and TikTok, where we did, or I just set up our social media for today. It's at Bloomington_buddies, where we'll be posting sports news of anything that happens. I'll be posting short clips of all of our videos. And then even if we do reaction videos during sports, I'll be posting all of that on our social media. And also, any topics you want to hear me and Quincy talk about, put it in there in the DMs, DM us. We'd love to have interaction. Make sure you tell us what it is you want us to talk about. And then me and Quincy are kind of spitballing this. We want to try to get people in here with us, maybe possibly, or even just like maybe a recording beforehand where we can kind of have listeners kind of interact with us, talk with us. So let us know if you would be interested in that. But let's go ahead and get into it.
Quincy, if you're watching on YouTube, links to all the social medias are in the description.
Yes. So, all right, Quincy, let's get into college football.
All right, do you want to start with the Friday, Thursday games, or just go to Saturday?
Let's just do weekend. We'll start doing Thursday games when we get a kind of a new normal schedule going, okay, especially this Friday. So,
I mean, I guess we'll just go by the list I have here in ESPN.
All right,
first game, Georgia and Kent State. This was a struggle for the top team in the country, and it really should not have been. I mean, I know they won by 17 points, but they were favored. They were favored by 45.
Yeah, 45 points, and I mean, especially against a terrible Kent State team.
It is. You do not see Georgia have games like this often, at least.
Exactly, and we saw that at the beginning of the year, though. I mean, when they destroyed Oregon, who was 11th in the country, and now you come in against Kent State, and you can barely win by 25.
I mean, Kent State's not a pushover. They play Power 5 teams. They played Oklahoma and Washington earlier
in the year.
But still, I mean, you're the number one team in the country. I want to see more. I'm not going to go too hard on them because there have been a lot of other teams that have looked not so great against Group of Five.
Oh, 100%. Teams. 100%.
But this was, I think, a little cause for concern.
Yes. And I think that, don't get me wrong, every team has that day where they kind of just fall off. And, you know, that's just something that's going to happen. We expect that. But what I will say is that, especially since we've already seen Georgia beat number 11 Oregon super early on in the season, we saw them come out in week two and blow them out, and now they're having trouble against Kent State. What is that going to bring forward as we move in near the playoffs?
See. I mean, I don't think Georgia fans are sounding any fire alarms. Next game on the list is Maryland and Michigan. Another kind of struggle.
That was close.
Maryland was in this game. They were in this game for a while. And what's Tua's little brother? I think it's, I can't.
Oh gosh, I can never remember his first name. I know it's a weird name, just like him.
It starts with a T.
Let me see.
It's Taulia, Taulia. But he looks good. The fact that IU, we'll talk about. I don't really want to, but
I don't either.
We'll talk about IU later. But I'm not excited to play Maryland. But Michigan did hold their own. They found their groove in the fourth quarter. They scored right before the half. Blake Corman, a 33-yard touchdown run. And then they scored to start the fourth quarter, and they were pretty much easy throughout then.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, it was a good win. Maryland, they were 3-0. They looked pretty good.
They looked pretty good, and I mean, we were talking about it earlier today about whether or not Maryland was going to win the West. And I know you don't believe in it, but I think that, yeah, Purdue and Wisconsin both have had bad starts, which we need to talk about that game really quick. Number 3, Ohio State, destroys Wisconsin at home and during a blackout, 52-21. No contest, 21-0 at the end of the first quarter.
I mean, here's the thing about Wisconsin. There have been teams that have gotten a win here and there against Ohio State, like Iowa beat them 1 year.
Yeah.
Michigan beat them the 1 year. Michigan State has beat them once or twice.
100%, yeah.
Penn State has beat
them once.
The last time Wisconsin beat Ohio State.
Purdue beat them.
Last time they – IU almost beat them. Last time that was 2010.
Yeah.
The last time that Wisconsin beat Ohio State. That was when Ohio State was down. I mean, Wisconsin is just – they've been a disappointment this year. Losing to Washington State at home.
Yeah. I mean, there's been multiple times.
Not even showing up against Wisconsin.
No. I mean, they didn't show up very well against Ohio State. And, I mean – I will say this, though. I think that there's a possibility they turn it around. I still think Purdue is a top-tier team. I mean, again, as a Hoosier, I hate to say it, but Purdue has a good squad. Have they been playing well these first weeks?
No, absolutely not. They should have lost to FAU.
But to be, they did have a horrible game against FAU. But to be absolutely fair, we've seen teams that have come out struggling at first and then absolutely explode. I mean, look at it. Oregon came out first week, looked horrible against Georgia, got absolutely demolished, and yet they're starting to make a comeback. They didn't look good at the beginning of the year. Everyone, I even said, I don't think they're going to be a good team. They're coming back.
Well, here's the team that I think is for sure winning the Big Ten West from what I've seen. It's Minnesota. They walked into East Lansing and took Michigan State to the woodshed from the moment the game started. From the moment the game started, that game was over.
It was, and I give 100% props to Minnesota, but I do not think Minnesota is going to win that division on just an off. Their first three games were cakewalks. This was their first challenge. Yeah, they did good, but they were riding the momentum.
Here's the thing, though. So you play everyone in your division, then you play two from the other division. They dodge Ohio State and Michigan from the other division, and they've already beat Michigan State. The only hard game left on their schedule that I can see is at Penn State.
They're at Penn State. I think that they lose to Wisconsin. They're at Wisconsin. Yes, again, Wisconsin has struggled. It's the final game of the year, though. I think Wisconsin will have it together by then. I also think they lose to Purdue. I know you think that's crazy.
That's this upcoming week.
Correct.
There's no way.
I think Purdue's turning around.
They're at Minnesota. I think there's no way Purdue wins.
I think they could pull it off.
They're like 10.5 point favorites.
Okay, well, that doesn't always mean anything. Just because they're favored doesn't mean they're going to win. Did anyone think that Jacksonville was going to beat the which we'll talk about later that much? You can't always trust the spread.
All right. Next game. This was the game of the week.
This was by far the easiest game of the week.
Wake Forest and Clemson. Now, I picked Wake Forest.
And I picked Clemson.
In my weekly picks. And Wake Forest got out to a little bit of a slow start. It was 14-0 real quick. But Sam Hartman ran the show.
Oh, 100%.
From that point on. And what really was costing Clemson and is why I think they are not as good as the top teams in the country. They are nowhere close to Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia. Their DBs were getting cooked. Jamal Banks, receiver for Wake Forest, had a day. And all Clemson could do was just pull him to the ground. And I think they had over 100 yards in just pass interference penalties.
Correct, they did. But the thing is that you can't have a one-sided offense and expect to win against a top-tier Tiger in general.
I mean,
Dabo Sweeney hasn't made it to multiple national championships and won and still kept a number five team for a reason.
But what you can normally count on for Clemson is the defense, and their pass defense was getting cooked.
Well, that's because they have a young, unexperienced secondary. Both of their safeties are, one of them's a freshman, I think one of them's a sophomore, and this is their first year playing.
I mean, the game went to overtime, and Wake Forest scored to open up the OT period, and then Clemson responded, so then Clemson got the ball first, 21-yard touchdown pass to Davis Allen, their tight end, a great game.
That is the smartest decision by Clemson. They won the toss, and instead of saying, hey, we want to come out and score first, they said, let's get the ball back-to-back, put pressure on them, because we know we can score. And they did it.
Well, what really won them the game is I think they got a sack when Wake Forest had their double OT drive. And
they got a sack because they were prepared.
Wake Forest actually only went down one spot in the rankings. They're a really good team. I mean, there are going to be few teams that can beat Wake Forest, especially in the ACC. They play at Florida State next week or this upcoming week. I think that'll be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a good game, but you know,
Clemson is hosting NC State.
They win that game. I know that's a tough call. NC State's been good.
I think Wake Forest is better than NC State. Next game, Penn State, Central Michigan. Penn State, easy, 33-14.
I do want to talk about this game. This is by far the biggest upset. Kansas State beats Oklahoma, number 6.
This was a big upset. I don't think it's the biggest upset, but here's the thing.
It's the biggest upset when you look at it statistically.
Kansas State They've won 3 out of the last 4 against Oklahoma, and they've been unranked every year. They didn't get rid of Lincoln Riley. He left. But it's the same song and dance every year from Oklahoma. They have a good offense, and their defense can't show up when it matters. Brent Venables was supposed to turn around the defense, and they were supposed to be better this year. 41 points to Adrian Martinez in Kansas State. I mean, it was
Kansas State always has an answer for Oklahoma. And now, I said Oklahoma was going to win this just because Oklahoma has looked good, really good,
in my opinion. I think what the running thing has been is who has looked better, USC or Oklahoma? Because
it's Oklahoma.
I want it.
They've looked better.
Not now.
What are you talking about? Oklahoma.
They lost.
USC almost lost to Oregon State.
Okay, I want to talk about that Oregon State USC game. But I want to see these two teams play so badly because Oklahoma doesn't even refer to Lincoln Riley as Lincoln Riley. They refer to him as TBOW, which is that bitch out west. I want to see them play each other so badly.
But you're always going to have that. Everybody, you know how many people hate JT Daniel right now because he left Georgia to go to West Virginia?
I want to talk about USC. So I picked Oregon State in this game because it was on the road, and USC has had trouble there. I think they lost in like 2006 when they were the number one ranked team. And they could not move the ball. Oregon State's a good team. They were 3-0 coming into this game, and it was 7-3 at half. It was like, I think USC scored a touchdown to go up 10-7. Oregon State, long arching drive with a minute left, they score to go up 14-10. And Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison drive down the field, take the lead back, and Oregon State threw a pick on the last drive. I'm putting that in the, if you're going, so the different types of games you've got good win, bad win, good loss, bad loss. I would put this in the good win category for USC because USC...
I wouldn't.
No one really thought their defense would play well. Everyone thought they were just going to outscore teams.
I'm sorry. When you're playing against a team and you're seventh in the country and you're playing against an unranked team and you win by 3 points on a last-second drive, that's embarrassing.
Oregon State's a tough team. But what this showed me from USC is they can win a defensive-style game. Because you can't be one-dimensional and win a national title. Georgia, last year, would beat teams in defensive battles and then outscore teams when they had to. I think USC fans should be happy about this win because
I don't, because A, they're not going to make a national title. They're not making the playoffs. They do not deserve to be seventh in the country, in my opinion. They don't.
There are
so many teams that I could feel would come in right now and absolutely demolish them.
Name one
right now. Kentucky. Kentucky looks hot. Not only Kentucky.
No, I'm sorry.
Telling you right now, Tennessee would absolutely destroy them.
Tennessee,
NC State would destroy them.
Let's talk about Tennessee. So Tennessee played Florida. Now, I am a Tennessee fan because my grandpa played football there, and that's why I wear 51 when I play baseball. So I'm a Tennessee fan, second to IU. And it was great to see Tennessee win this game because their three biggest rivals, they have struggled against so mightily, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. I think it was great to see Tennessee get this win, but it was great. I'm not trying to take anything away from Tennessee. This was a fantastic win without their top receiver, too. They had a great game. Keaton, one of their wide receivers, caught like a 66-yard bomb diving catch near the end of the first half.
Yeah, it was
half.
A really good catch. I saw it.
And that was what won them the game. But here's what I can't get past from this game. Billy Napier, Sunbelt Billy, he lost the game for Florida.
Yeah,
he was going for it on fourth down, like on his own 30-yard line, and he lost out on at least 3 or 4 or 6 points by not kicking field goals in the first half. But in the second half, when Tennessee started to light it up at the start of the second half, they got a big lead.
Yeah,
they scored. They were up 17. Florida scored, and then they went for two for absolutely no reason. For no reason, they go for two. It was an 11-point game when it could have been a 10-point game. So then,
well, that's just how they roll.
So then, with time winding down, they score to make it a 5-point game, and now they have to go for two because they didn't get the first one and they didn't get the second one. So if they would have kicked both those extra points, it would have been a 3-point game.
Yeah.
And so now they got to go for broke for the onside kick. And they get it. They get the onside kick.
It wasn't even really a good onside kick. But, it was just a bad field.
But now they're in a spot where they got to go for the end zone. And
they
were in a spot where they could have kicked a deep field goal on 100%. Time. 100%. But Sunbelt Billy, just what are you doing going for two down a let? Like, if you get it, you're down. Not, like, I don't see it. Like,
yeah, I would have gone down 10.
That was bad. That was bad.
It was stupid.
Sunbelt. I'm not trying to take anything away from Tennessee, but Sunbelt Billy lost that game.
Uh-huh.
All right, now to the biggest upset of the week, in my opinion. Maybe not the biggest upset, but at least the most embarrassing loss of the weekend. Miami. Not just losing to an unranked Middle Tennessee State, but they got ran out of the field. And I think Miami football is in a bad spot. They don't even have their own stadium. They got to rent a stadium from the Dolphins. And their own quarterback literally said he prefers playing on road games because no one comes to Miami games.
That's true, because you want to know why? Because the Hurricanes haven't actually had a decent team in a long time. And now they have a decent team and they choke every time.
I mean,
that's how they always roll.
It was 24-3 at the start of the second quarter.
Middle they started Tennessee, to come back, middle, and then they lost it.
The comeback effort was way too late. Miami was favored by 25.5, and they lost by 14, and really they could have lost by 20.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just overall, it was an embarrassing performance for Miami. And not only that, everybody coming into this year actually said Miami was a favorite to possibly sneak into the playoffs. A lot of people did, and I don't see how.
Yeah.
I don't see how.
They gave up a 15-yard interception return, a 71-yard touchdown, a 69-yard touchdown, and a 98-yard touchdown.
Yep. 98-yard. I think that was the longest of the week.
This is the same. There are certain teams people need to learn will never be different, and it's Miami and Oklahoma. Those are the two that are highlighted because they lost. But every year, people prop up Miami and Oklahoma, and then they don't perform when it matters.
If I'm going to be realistic, there are plenty of other teams like that. For instance, Tennessee is one of them. Oh, Florida is one of them.
Texas
is one of them.
They lost.
That wasn't really a big upset, though, in my opinion. I think I even said Texas Tech.
Texas Tech hasn't beaten them in a while. But, I mean, you can make the argument they're the third best Big 12 team in the state. Like, you are the University of Texas. You're the University of Texas. You should. I know they almost beat Alabama. That was a flash in the pan game. They had been preparing for that game all year. So, of course, they came out and played well. But Texas Tech's better than you. Baylor's better than you. A&M's better than you. I mean, I know you're going to get a recruiting advantage when you go to the SEC. And I think they could turn it around. Like, A&M kind of turned it around when they went to the SEC. They started recruiting a lot better. But
you know who they have coming next? You know what? They really don't care about this year, because you know why? You know who they got coming next year? They got who's going to probably go down as one of the GOATs of Texas
history. I understand Arch Manning.
When you have Arch Manning going, you don't need anything
else.
Here's
the thing, though. How many times have Texas fans said, oh, we're not going to worry about this year, we're going to be out next year? And then next year comes.
Correct.
And then they're worried about next year.
When have they had this big of a prospect that they were actually proud of?
The quarterback that they're going to – I think Quinn Ewers will start next year.
Yeah, because they'll redshirt him.
Yeah, man, they'll redshirt
him. They'll 100% redshirt him. But the prospect and the realization that they have a quarterback that can lead them for 4 years and all they need is the SEC because they can get higher recruiting for receivers and better just players in general, Texas will be a top 10 team in the next 3 years.
Maybe. But here's the thing. With Texas and Oklahoma leaving and screwing over the Big 12, teams are going to want to get one last shot in at them. And Texas Tech and Kansas State have already done that. This, the next game I want to talk about, maybe could have been the best game of the day besides Wake Forest and Clemson. Texas A&M and Arkansas.
Honestly, that game was boring. It was.
No, this was a fun game.
Until the end, it was boring.
So,
I watched it.
So Arkansas comes out like a house of fire, 14-0. Just in the first quarter, A&M couldn't move the ball.
Correct.
Couldn't move the ball. Max Johnson leads them down for a touchdown drive, but then Arkansas's coming back. They're about to score. They're inside the 3-yard line. They're about to make it 21-7. And KJ Jefferson tries to dive over like four people.
And he fumbles it,
people.
And they return it for 98. Was it 98 or 99? Here's the thing.
So not only did he fumble, A&M guy picks it up, and one of Arkansas's receivers.
I don't know what the heck that was. He handed it off.
Okay, so one of Arkansas's receivers has him wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah.
But before he can like go down,
another
A&M player comes up, grabs it, takes it the rest of the way to the house. That flipped the game on its head. They missed the extra point, but you went from going up 14 to now you're up 1. That's a 13-point swing. And A&M came out, scored 10 points in the third quarter. Arkansas did score a touchdown to make it a game, and they got the ball back and were driving, and they were kicking.
They had the game-winning field goal.
They were kicking a field goal. And
Cody Parkey memories.
Here's the thing.
if they would have made that field goal, the botched extra point from A&I would have lost them the game. Kick is up. It's going to the right post. It hit off the top. The yep. top of the post went like 40 feet in the air, came crashing down in the end zone. No good. Arkansas gets their first loss of the year. A&M's in desperation mode for the rest of the year if they want to make the playoffs.
A&M, they're not making the playoffs.
They've gotten two wins. Two good wins over Miami and Arkansas. They're at Mississippi
State. Over Miami? Really? Are we really going to
say
good
wins? Well, that doesn't look... It looked good at the time. It looks good at the time.
My favorite game, just because... Okay, not really my favorite game, but it's one of my favorite games. Oregon-Washington State, because Cooper Kupp University almost beat them. It would have been so funny.
It's Eastern Washington, not Washington.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Washington State, either way, is really good.
Yeah, no, they beat...
Shockingly,
they beat Wisconsin, yes. And then Oregon. Oregon was losing, and then they scored like 22 unanswered.
22 unanswered, and then, that's why they won.
So then they finally took the lead. So Washington State's trying to drive, and they try to throw a screen to the running back. D Lyman picks it off, takes it back.
Yeah, and then they win on that because they were actually down.
They were down. They were down the majority of that game,
and it was just embarrassing. But what I'm going to say I'm worried about, the one team I'm worried about after seeing this game, Ole Miss. You should not be with. They play Tulsa. They won 35-27. It should not be that close of a game.
Well,
Tulsa had really had a decent D the entire game, but Ole Miss was so freaking scared. They literally had to run it to the end. Like they got the last first down to seal that victory. Otherwise, they would have probably had to punt the ball, and they may have.
They were up 35-14, and yes. then kind of
lost it. Like you don't do that, especially you can't do that against an Alabama or anybody. But, yeah, I mean, overall, those are, like, the major games. I will say, yeah, Kentucky cut it close. But, oh, man, yeah, it was a crazy – overall, it was a crazy crazy group of games
I would
today.
Say, okay, who impressed you the most?
Who impressed me the most? Alabama.
Okay, I'm talking about, like, per expectations. Like, you didn't think – like, this team is the biggest riser of week four, I think it was. And I'll tell you mine – it's Minnesota. They're the biggest.
They
impressed me the most, and I think that they are the biggest riser, at least. Biggest faller, Oklahoma and Miami.
Biggest person that I was impressed with the most? I don't really have one that was major for me. I mean, I was kind of impressed. I mean, they're already really high as Ohio State, but nobody thought they would beat Wisconsin by that much.
I did.
Nobody thought it would be that much. Not even the analytics guys.
Wisconsin
they did not
like,
think they were winning.
Wisconsin has looked like trash this year, and they just.
You know how I know? Because as somebody, and I know you've watched broadcasting a lot, you've studied broadcasters. You can tell when they're shocked about something. When Ohio State was winning 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, there was a hint of shock in their voice. Because everybody thought it would probably be a score or two score game. Everybody figured Ohio State would win this game by at least one or two scores, but nobody thought they'd win by almost four.
I just realized we didn't talk about IU.
We didn't, and we will. We're going to. We're saving that for last, and then we're going to move on to the NFL. But I'm kind of shocked. I will say, actually, you want to know who I think is one of the most underrated teams right now? Take a guess.
Who?
Cuse, of course.
Yeah.
Syracuse has an actual shot to take a spot in the ACC.
In the ACC title game?
Yeah. They're undefeated. They're the only team left on that side that's undefeated.
Are they in the bad division?
No, they're in the one with Wake. I think
Wake will beat them. I'm sorry.
They may beat them, but right now Syracuse is winning that division.
Hold on. Let me see what Syracuse's upcoming schedule is. They've looked good. They're 4-0. They beat Purdue. I love to see that. Mopped Syracuse and UConn. Okay, they have Wagner next week. They're 0-3. And then they host NC State. They have a tough stretch. They play NC State. It's home against NC State at Clemson, home against Notre Dame at Pitt, home against Florida State at Wake. That's a tough stretch.
Well, they're home against Wagner first. They'll go 5-0.
And then I think they have, I don't know. We'll see.
Hot take, they beat Notre Dame. They're at home.
Notre Dame looked good. I mean,
Notre Dame looks absolutely shitty.
No, they beat UNC. They looked good this past week, but
they beat UNC. They looked absolutely
UNC was
ass. 4-0. Okay, but they beat shitty
okay,
teams.
Okay, I hate Notre Dame as next.
No, I don't hate Notre Dame.
I do, but
I just they're not good. They're not good.
I know they're not good, but
I'm telling you right now, at home Syracuse
that was
beat
a
them.
Good rebound game for Notre Dame.
I guess. But yes, I agree. They'll fall to Pitt. They'll fall to Florida State and probably Wake and Clemson and
North Carolina. Florida State's another team that's been rising up.
Oh, 100%.
No one thought Florida State would be that great, and then they somehow beat out.
100%. They beat
LSU on that blocked field goal, and I'm not saying Florida State is back to their glory days yet, but, I mean, no one thought they'd be ranked, like, at all this year.
I mean, you want to know what's really funny?
What?
You want to know what the probability of Wake beating Syracuse is?
What?
It's actually a lot closer than you would think.
I'm going to say like 40.
What is it? 45, pretty much. It's 44. So Wake has a 56% chance of beating them, which I think is pretty interesting.
I mean, do we just wrap this up with IU now?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up with IU. I think that's the fair way to go out.
If IU wins, we're going to start with them. And if they lose, we're going to end with them.
That's fair.
I mean, I didn't think they'd beat Cincinnati because Cincinnati's a good team.
I thought that there was a chance we'd beat Cincinnati. I'll tell you this. If you've watched anything IU's done all year, you see that we start off looking like a sack of crap. We did it against Idaho. We did it against Illinois, and we did it against Western Kentucky. And then we came back, and we made an ultimate comeback. Well, that started to happen.
Here's the thing.
We were down 35-10 at the half. 38-10, sorry, my bad, yeah. Then we scored 14 unanswered.
I mean, at that point in the game, they're not coming back from down 28. I mean, I know they made it competitive.
What are you talking about? There were 6 minutes left in the game when we were down 14 and we were in the red zone.
I know they made it a competitive game at the end, but, I mean, you can't get off to a slow start against that good of a team. You got to start games.
The funny thing is Cincinnati's good, but they're not a ranked team.
They should be.
They shouldn't be.
They should be.
They literally lost. Didn't they lose their first game to, like, a really crappy team?
To Arkansas, who's...
No, right they. I thought that they lost.
They almost beat Arkansas on the road.
I'm telling you right now, Cincinnati, if they're ranked, they're like very low.
They had like the second most votes to be ranked. Like if we went past 25, they'd be like 28 or 27.
I don't know.
And you can't keep starting the games out. They're at Nebraska next week. I think they could beat Nebraska because Nebraska is just terrible.
I tell you this: we win three of our next four games.
You think they're beating Nebraska, then Michigan?
Nope. Nebraska, then Maryland, then Rutgers.
You think they're winning all three of those?
100% against Maryland and Rutgers?
Maryland looked good.
We're home against Maryland. We've won every home game this year.
Yeah, but
Michigan's going to probably be our first home loss.
I hope they beat Michigan. We will
be storming the field.
I will.
I don't care what security guard I have to jump over.
I will give my right leg to beat Michigan.
No. I don't care what security guard I have to trample. We win that game. I'm storming the field.
No,
definitely. I don't care. Especially if they go up to number three or number two.
As 100%. Fun as that would be, I don't.
They will let us.
It's probably not going to happen. Not letting us rush the field. Us winning at all.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I'm just flat out stating the fact. If we win and a security guard tries to tell me, sorry, we ain't rushing the field, I'm going to say, you better just get out of my way because you're going on the ground one way or another and I'm getting on that field. I mean, it's happening.
Okay, Eddie. I might have to bail you out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, this is how it's going to have to go. Now, then we're going to lose three of our next... Well, actually, seeing as bad as Michigan State is, we may win.
Yeah, they don't look good.
So I think we honestly lose three more games this year.
Will they get to bowl?
We go 8-4.
I mean, I guess that's got to be the goal for IU is bowl eligibility.
We should go 8-4. We lose to Michigan, then we lose to Penn State and Ohio State. We beat Purdue. We beat Michigan State. We beat Rutgers.
Here's
we beat Maryland.
So we got to find three more wins to get to bowl eligibility. I think Nebraska's a win.
Maryland's a win. I think we're home.
Rutgers is a win because Rutgers hasn't looked great.
Maryland hasn't looked great either. They put up a fight against Michigan, but it was I think Michigan just kind of sucked. I think we lose to Maryland. And that game.
Here's the thing. The bad part is the winnable games we have are on the road. Nebraska, Rutgers, and Michigan State are all on the road. We'll see.
Nah, what are you talking about? The winnable games we have, one of them's on the road.
Which one?
Or two of them. Nebraska and Michigan State.
And Rutgers.
Oh, I was looking at it wrong. I saw Maryland. I think Maryland and Purdue were both easy
wins. Honestly, screw bowl eligibility. The only two games I care about are Michigan and Purdue.
And you know what? We got front row seats to both of them. So
of course.
I don't even care. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, overall, I can't say that the Hoosiers played bad. I mean, they did.
Okay.
But I don't think they did because they're the Hoosiers. So.
Should we make a switch at QB?
To who?
To...
I think Dexter.
Dexter, I think, is better than Bazelak.
I will say this. They're two different styled quarterbacks.
That's true. I feel
Dexter
like,
doesn't have the arm.
I feel like Dexter's a better college-style quarterback.
Dexter is more like a Michael Penix. He is.
Yeah. And that.
But the problem is...
Bazelak looked bad.
Is Michael Penix was bigger.
Here's the thing. Bazelak just didn't look good.
He didn't.
He just didn't look good.
And he hasn't. But...
I mean, he threw the ball 66 times.
He actually broke the school record.
You should not be okay,
Indiana ran over 100 plays in this game.
IU should not be relying on Connor Bazelak to throw the ball 66 times. He's not Josh Allen.
He threw it 66 times, which broke, by the way, the Indiana school record for most attempted completions. By the way, he threw the ball more times than Cincinnati had plays the entire game.
Well, because Cincinnati was... They scored so many times on defense. I mean, Cincinnati just ran the floor with us.
Just think about that, though. He threw the ball more times than Cincinnati ran entire offensive plays. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy. But
all right. Should we do NFL?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and move into NFL just so we can have a little time for NFL or a little time for MLB after. And then, of course, we have to have this week's duh moments. All right. First game, I'm just going to literally just go down the line. We're not going to talk about it, but Browns beat the Steelers Thursday Night Football 29-17. Move on. Stunning game here. The Indianapolis Colts upset the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17.
Nobody in the world
saw
this coming.
And I still want to point out that freaking Jonathan Taylor still only got me 7 points in fantasy. So
honestly,
thanks a lot, JT.
Walking into this week, I thought the Colts looked like the worst team in the NFL.
No.
I thought they had looked like it. I guess they're
you
not
now. You
want
to know who the worst team in the NFL is?
Who?
I'm afraid to tell you, buddy.
The Texans?
No. Oh, after seeing Justin Fields' stats?
Oh, you mean the team that won?
After seeing his stats?
You mean the team that's 2-1 and that won this past week.
You mean the team that's 2-1 because played two crappy teams.
We'll talk about my Bears later.
But anyway, Colts, yeah, they upset him. Patrick Mahomes actually getting into a little bit of an argument with his OC on the sideline at one point. It was kind of funny during half. He did come out afterwards and say, you know, that was totally on me, guys. That loss was on me. He goes, you know, you just want to score in any way possible. He goes, you know, that was an argument that wasn't necessary. It just kind of got to my head. But yeah, kind of crazy. The Bears escape with a win. Don't act like the team that won. You escaped with a win. You're lucky Cody Parkey wasn't on the field. Otherwise, you wouldn't have won.
The Bears
23-20.
Like absolute
dog shit.
Garbage. They were garbage that game.
Justin Fields literally had the I want to say he probably had the lowest passer rating ever. Like just in general. He looked absolutely terrible. I mean, don't tell me I'm wrong.
He was 8-for-17.
Yes.
With 106 yards.
And an INT. Two of them. Oh, he had two? Okay.
And Bears starting running back, David Montgomery leaves the game and he's hurt. But yep. Khalil Herbert
is a goat, bro.
Who is the best backup.
Love him.
The best backup running back in the NFL right now. Who's now the starting running back.
He's not the best backup.
20 carries, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is so explosive. He is the bright spot of this team. I think Fields can still play well and turn it around. A lot of Bears fans are like, get rid of him, draft Bryce Young. No.
Do you actually really think that he's the best backup running back?
Who's better?
Oh, I don't know. Kareem Hunt, A.J. Dillon, both of whom had monster games.
Did they rush for 157 yards, 20 carries?
Did their starting running back get hurt in the first quarter and they be promoted to starter?
I mean, I guess. but this was just a bad game. I mean,
it was horrible. I literally just saw the video and I was like, congratulations, Bears fans. You were 2-1 on a technicality.
I'll say this, though. I'll take a bad win over a pretty loss.
Wait until you play us next week and you'll probably lose. And that's how you know
you suck. I'll take a bad win over a pretty loss any day of the week.
I'm telling you right now, when you lose to my Giants next week, that's just depressing. You know you suck.
All right, next game. Let's stop talking about the Bears.
All right, next game. We've got the Panthers and the Saints. Panthers escape with a win. It was a pretty interesting win for them. Panthers get their first one of the season. Baker Mayfield getting his first win as a Panther. 1-2 for both of them now. The Saints are looking absolutely like dog shit. Tyrann Mathieu, they got, you know, Jameis Winston was supposed to be great. He's injured. He's again. Why don't we just put him on continuous IR at this point? It's ridiculous. Alvin Kamara is suspended because of getting arrested. I mean, just all in all, this team looks horrible.
Alvin Kamara played this past game.
Oh, did he come back this game? That's right. He was only suspended for 2 games.
He had 15 carries for 60.
He was suspended.
61 yards.
So overall, though, I will say that Saints team just looks horrible. Like, it looks like a team that they thought was finally in the year that they were going to do good. They finally got Jameis Winston back, maybe on a possibly good year. They signed one of the best strong safeties in the game, the Honey Badger. And they brought back great receivers. They got Chris Olave in the draft. Really, really good pickup.
They need a good QB.
And they just... Jameis Winston is not a horrible QB.
He's not a horrible QB.
You want to know what's killing him, though?
You're not going to win anything.
You don't have a line. You know why? Because you got rid of Terrain Armstead.
Yeah.
And he's in the Dolphins now. Which, by the way, we're going to talk about them in a minute.
Let's do that now. Let's do the Dolphins.
Well, let's save the best for last, bro. We got to save the best for last. We got to get rid of the crappy games first.
Okay, fine.
Like, for instance, the Titans and the Raiders. Dude, the Raiders were expected to be one of the best teams.
These are two playoff teams last year, and they were both 0-2.
Yeah, and, well, not only were they both playoff teams, the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC last year. Nobody remembers that. They were the number one seed in the AFC. I
picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
They
were up 24-10 in this game. Yeah. Raiders almost came back and won.
Raiders are 0-3. Devontae's got to be so pissed right now, sitting here thinking, I left the Packers, who just beat Brady. They're 2-1, and I'm sitting at 0-3. It was a garbage game. But I do have to say Aaron Rodgers got a second win over TB, and he's not going to regret it. He doesn't care how he won, he won. But anyway, next one.
I think the fire alarms are sounding for the Raiders.
100%. They're sitting here thinking, what do we need?
It's not even that they've looked that bad. I mean...
But what more do you need on offense? You have Derek Carr, who is not a bad quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. Derek Carr is a good quarterback. Jacobs.
Hot take. I think they beat the Broncos this upcoming week.
I can see that. But you have Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and Devontae Adams, and Hunter Renfrow, who I think is a great slot receiver. What more do you need? And you are 0-3 against two teams that you should have easily beat?
I don't know. All right.
Bengals.
Okay.
Bengals. Jets. Not really much to say.
They needed a win. They're playing the Jets. They got to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Vikings beat the Lions 28-24. This is a concern for Vikings. Vikings fans, you have a stacked team too. But sad thing is, Dalvin Cook is out.
I don't think the Lions are a pushover this year.
They're not. But I do not think. I think that they finish maybe 4 or 5 wins.
Although, classic Lions, they let the game slip away in the fourth quarter. 100%. They were up 10 at the end of the third quarter.
They're the Indiana Hoosiers of the NFL. They play one solid half, and then they just suck one of them. It's true.
I feel so bad for Detroit fans. They deserve to root for a good team.
They do, and there's a reason Matthew Stafford left.
They deserve to root for a good team, but they're just...
They can't.
I think they're on the up and up. I think after this year, they have a good draft, they could be good.
I do, too. I think that they had a good draft this year. I think they just need one or two more valuable pieces.
They didn't have a good draft this year. They need to get a good corner,
a really good corner, and they need to get a QB. I'm sorry, Jared Goff is not going to be around.
Take
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young, yeah.
Take Bryce Young. Or C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is my pick.
I think Stroud will be a higher pick, though. I don't think the Lions will have a high enough pick to take Stroud. Next game.
Possibly.
The Commodes. And
the Commodes and the Eagles.
And the Eagles. The Eagles.
This is just embarrassing Carson Wentz.
Here's the thing, though. The Eagles played one quarter.
They did.
They scored 0 points in the first, 0 points in the third, 0 points in the fourth. They scored 24 points in the second quarter.
In the second?
Field goal for Jake Elliott. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Because they hit that last second touchdown too before the half. I just want to point this out. My favorite fan ever. This is my new favorite fan. Screw every NFL fan. This man walked into the stadium with a Carson Wentz Eagles jersey with a red tape all over the jersey. So it looked like a big red X over his Eagles jersey. But it was still an Eagles jersey. Just marked out everything that had any signs of Wentz.
Who is he rooting for? He's rooting for the Eagles?
He's rooting for the Eagles.
Okay.
He was an Eagles fan, but that was the only jersey he had.
I don't even understand why Eagles fans hate Wentz. Like, did he win an MVP or almost won an MVP?
He almost won an MVP and then got hurt.
And then he led him to, like, the number one seed in the NFC. Like, I have a friend who's an Eagles fan.
You want to know why?
He loves Wentz.
You want to know why they hate him? Because he did that. He got hurt. And then he didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Foles won the Super Bowl.
You've never won a Super Bowl. I really don't think you can be picking and choosing.
They did win a Super Bowl.
That was their first Super Bowl.
No. They'd won another one, I think.
No, they had. That was their first Super Bowl.
I thought they'd won one more.
They had like an NFL title.
Yeah, that's what it was. But no, and then the next year, Carson Wentz sucked. So he was traded. And now everybody hates Carson Wentz, even though he didn't ask to be traded. They traded him on his own accord. So, I don't know. It's crazy. Next game, though, let's go ahead and talk about it. Packers-Bucks. Aaron Rodgers came out, scored all of his points in the first quarter. And that was it. Or no. He first scored seven in the second. It was at the very beginning of the second.
Slow start for Brady and company.
What do you mean slow start? It's
like,
a slow
like
game.
Brady hasn't had like a good game yet.
I will tell you this. I think this game would have gone into overtime if there wasn't a delay game in the two-point conversion. Brady looked confident that they were about to score that. And when Brady looks confident, every time any defense sees that look in his eyes, they already know. They already know. They're like, I might as well just stand still because he's going to get it anyway. And that delay a game, he was so mad. Somebody literally said, everybody hide the tablets. And yeah. I mean, you know, because it's true. I mean, you saw the video last week where he threw the tablet again. And then the year before, he had actually thrown it against the Saints, too. So, but yeah, I mean, it was just a rough game for Brady and the Bucks in general. Leonard Fournette was supposed to run for a lot. It's crazy. But
all right. This game was I have no idea what happened. The Jaguars beat the Chargers by 38.
I know exactly what happened.
That's the team that I thought would be the worst in the NFL against the team I thought would be the best in the NFL.
I thought there was going to be three worst teams in the NFL.
Okay.
The Texans.
Don't say the Bears.
The Bears. 100% the Bears. And as much as I hate to admit it, my very own New York Giants.
But here's the thing. They took them to the woodshed. This game was a massacre. Brandon Staley. How you have a job still is beyond me.
Okay, the only reason they lost, you can fight me on this, I'm telling you this right now, is because everybody on their dominant offense is injured. Think about it. Here's Justin Herbert was playing through fractured ribs.
And the fact that he was out there down 28 points is a fireable
in the quarter.
It's a fireable offense.
And not
for
only that,
Staley.
Mike Williams is still not back to full.
Keenan Allen.
Or not Mike Williams. Keenan Allen is not.
Was also hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. Mike Williams got injured a little bit, and he's not completely full. So you're playing a quarterback who has broken ribs. He takes a hit. He's pretty much done. He's got broken rib cartilage, too, which is even worse because that's inside.
Here's the thing. This goes back to last year, though. Brandon Staley tanked the Chargers' chances of making the playoffs by his own stupidity.
100%.
Because he goes for it on fourth down on his own 20-yard line.
It's stupid.
And on like fourth and eight. The analytics say this, the analytics say that.
It doesn't matter about analytics if you can't produce.
I mean, I'm all for analytics.
Me
and
too.
Stuff, but
I study
but
it.
Come
but...
on, bro. Come on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, he called a timeout with a tie game when it made him to the playoffs.
Yeah, like that's dumb.
He's completely outclassed.
He is. But I don't think he's a horrible coach in certain circumstances.
No, he is.
No. Overall, he's a horrible coach. But in certain circumstances, I would love to have Brandon Staley as my coach.
In no world would I like to have Brandon Staley as my head football coach.
I would. I just think that his atmosphere is different. If you ask anybody that plays for him, they say his atmosphere
is different. I like how everyone was talking about how good the AFC West was going to be and how they're going to run the NFL.
The Chargers are
1-2. The Broncos are, what are they, 2-1, but they haven't looked good doing
Broncos are 2-1. Chiefs are 2-1.
And the Raiders are 0-3. Like,
well, yeah, but like to be fair, look at the AFC East. Everybody said they were going to run the division. There's just two good teams there.
Ravens and Pats is our next game.
Everybody figured that would be a pretty easy win for the Ravens.
Easy win for Lamar. Did you know that Lamar has more touchdowns than every NFL team besides the Ravens?
Correct.
Every
it's ridiculous.
He rushed for three
and passed for one.
He is a top five quarterback.
He's MVP right now.
Oh, yeah.
The only person close is Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen.
Okay.
But Lamar is
all right,
first.
I think it's time we talk about the Dolphins game.
Yeah, we'll run through the scores. We're not going to talk about it, but Rams beat Cardinals 2012, Falcons beat Seahawks 27-23, and the Broncos.
Hold on. I want to talk about this game.
I do. This is the most boring game ever.
Cause
it's just turnover. It's almost like the Bucks game. It was just turnover.
It was a good turnover.
It was
a good defensive battle. But
we'll get back to this game in the dumb moment.
And my boy Jimmy G.
By the way, this man said that Jimmy G was a top 10 quarterback.
I think he is.
There's no way.
I think he is.
I can name 10 quarterbacks right now that are better.
Do we really have to argue about this again?
I'm just saying you're out of your mind.
This was a thing for like. When I went to my buddy's dorm to watch the game.
He called me while I was sick. I was asleep.
So,
I was very
sick. Shout out Jimmy Davis.
But he called me and he goes, "Can you make fun of Quincy for a moment?" I said, "I always got time to make fun of Quincy." And he goes, "This man just said Jimmy G is a top 10 quarterback." I will
stand by that though. But the thing is all throughout last night, Jimmy and all my friends, when he stepped out of the back of the end zone, they go, "That's your top 10 quarterback. That's your top 10 quarterback."
No, wait. Even to make it even better, not only did he step out of the back of the end zone, but if hadn't he stepped out of the back of the end zone, he would have thrown a pick six. So he did a double whammy in one play. That's just depressing.
But he didn't even play that bad.
No, he did.
Are you
out of your mind?
18 of 29, 211 yards. I mean, he managed the game pretty well.
He managed the game.
He played better than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, he also, you have to realize, each team had like 17 possessions, so I would hope he'd have 200 passing yards.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, so yeah, there's that score, and then, yes, we'll talk about it.
San Francisco, you lost to the Bears, and you lost to a not good Broncos team.
Let's just put it this way. Everybody always talks about how nice people in Buffalo are. But obviously, the offensive coordinator did not get the memo because that equipment is not coming back from hell. He smashed the living shit out of that headset.
I would be doing the same. Okay.
So. I'm going to post the video on our Instagram and on our TikTok. That is the best video and raw reaction.
Quincy.
He hit the camera.
Quincy. That was set up. No, someone covered the camera. Like, they went up to the camera and went like this.
No, they did after, but when he was slamming his playbook, it covered the camera, part of it.
No, someone covered it because he was – I bet you we saw the tip of the
– Dude, I can't imagine what he – no, but I heard that when he threw the playbook, part of it covered part of the camera, and then they took the camera. But he covered the camera.
Let's talk about the game. I mean, it was a good game. It was a back-and-forth game.
It was okay.
The Bills had a three-point lead. Heading, I think, Chase Edmonds scores a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
And then they get a safety.
And so, okay, it was back and forth. So, my buddy that I was with, he's a Bills fan. So, we turned the Bills game on after the Bears game started. Yeah. Since we're all Bears fans, he's a Bills fan. And they had him backed up. And so, Josh Allen, fourth and goal, I mean, just throws the ball into the ground. It was fourth.
Yeah.
They were down four. They had fourth and goal from, like, the 3-yard line. And he threw it into the ground. I mean, I haven't seen Josh Allen make a bad throw.
Yeah.
And but so they come back, they almost get a safety on the thing. So now the Dolphins have to punt with their punter standing on the back line of the end zone.
There's a problem. Catch my meme there.
They had the up man.
You know what? At least we can say the punter is accurate. Not just anybody can hit the blind side of a butt in the end zone.
The thing is though, so they had to try to punt it. People are saying they should have stepped out and take the safety. You gotta try to punt it.
Well, either way you got the safety.
But
there was no way any logical human being that was looking at that knew there was no way they were getting that out. He was three. It was on the 3-yard line.
Either the up man went too far back or the punter went too far forward.
Do you know what the suggested distance is for a punt? 18 yards from the snapper. He was probably
The end zone's 10 yards deep.
Correct.
What they should have done is they should have put no up man,
but no,
and then put everyone on the line.
If you watch, everybody tells you as a punter, you're supposed to take two steps forward from the out of bounds line so you don't accidentally back up. So that's a general thing. Every punter does that.
But
he was probably nine yards from them.
They should have tried to get out. Anyway, hits off the up man's
right
ass.
Right off of his
goes
ass.
Goes into the stands or something. And so now the Bills get the ball.
The Bills, my favorite, was them actually chasing it like they were going to catch it. And I was like, yo, what are y'all doing?
Well, to be fair, if they did, it would have been a touchdown.
No, not. It was already up in the air, out of the end zone. They kept running to the stands.
If they would have tapped it back in, that would have been the craziest play I've ever seen.
I don't know.
But anyway, so the Bills get the ball back, and they start driving with limited. They didn't have any timeouts left.
That's crazy.
But they threw it to Gabriel Davis, and
they tried to get to the line.
He did his damnedest to get out of bounds. Couldn't get out of bounds, and the game ends with time running out.
They tried to snap it, and I will tell you this. I've watched that play over and over. It's all the center's fault. Because if you watch, they have about a second and a half, almost 2 seconds when they get there, and Josh Allen claps his hands four times, and the center doesn't snap
it. It's the Dak Prescott play. It's the Dak Prescott play.
It is.
The ref has to how do you people watch football and not know the ref has to spot the ball?
Yeah. But the ref wasn't even there anymore. He backed up, which means they could snap the ball.
Yeah. And then Ken Dorsey just...
Oh, man. I have, again, best raw reaction of a coach.
I would be doing the same thing.
The only other raw reaction I think that is maybe better was this one game when Sean Payton went livid.
Yeah.
But other than that, best.
I've seen Nick Saban get that mad up 60 points in the fourth quarter.
Yes. All right. We are going to have to go ahead and move on. We'll do MLB really, really quick, okay, and then we'll do the dumb moments.
I don't know how many people watch SEC Shorts. They're a great page on YouTube. Go follow them. But they did like a thing of like the meeting of the top 10 SEC teams, and Tennessee got in or whatever. And then they're like, oh, it's almost time. What the hell is that? Oh, Aaron Judge is batting.
Yeah.
And now I'm a big baseball guy. I'm the biggest baseball guy. Like, I love baseball. I play baseball. And so I actually wanted to see that. Because here's the thing. So Albert Pujols just hit 700 home runs.
He did. Congratulations to him. But
what, fourth player? Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds.
Okay, well, again, I'm going to say this right now. Barry Bonds, nothing that he did after for his last, like, 4 years counts.
Hold on. And here's what I'm going to get into. Aaron Judge hitting, if he gets to, how many games do they have left? Like, seven, maybe?
It's like a week. 94 and 58. They have 162 games. So do quick math. I can't do math in my head that quickly. 94 plus 58.
I'll just look.
I think they have six. They have eight games? Getting eight games. Eight. Okay. Eight games. So he's got to hit two home runs in eight games. He hasn't hit one in the last five.
Okay. I think the pressure might be getting to him a little bit.
But if he hits 62, I'm telling you right now, he wins. Barry Bonds does not count.
Here's the thing. And neither does Sammy Sosa.
Nope. They were all on steroids. As much as I love Sammy Sosa,
as a Cubs guy, I love Sammy Sosa.
Every one of them was on steroids. Well, which is literally the only reason.
I mean, if you look at Aaron Judge.
He ain't on steroids. They've already tested him. They actually did test him.
I mean, yeah.
As he got really close, they tested him.
So Roger Maris has the AL record.
With 61.
With 60. And the Yankees record.
And the Yankees record.
So
because the Yankees are goated.
If he passes him, so he just tied Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth's highest he got was 60.
Or 60. And then
Babe Ruth's highest was 60. And
if he gets 62, he should go down as the biggest.
He would be the home run champ. People like me.
No, he's the home run champ.
No, people like me still regard Roger Maris as the home run champ.
No, I know. But I mean, when he hits 62, which he will, I believe in you, Aaron. Nobody gives a crap about Barry Bonds. He is not the home run queen. Everybody's always like, who has the most home runs? And I literally will always go Maris. And they're like, no, it's Bonds. I'm like, no, it's not.
I mean,
it's not.
I feel like, so the reason Barry Bonds took steroids is because he saw everyone else doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess like, everybody should have jumped off a bridge because Barry Bonds would have done that too.
He's like, I know, if I take steroids, I'll be the best player that ever lived. So he just gave a big middle finger to everyone else and just said, I'm going to just hit 70 home runs in a year because I know I can.
I'm going to laugh when Aaron Judd hits like three home runs the next six, eight games and just destroys Barry Bonds' record.
Well, he needs 13.
Barry Bonds hit 71, right?
73.
I thought he hit 71.
Mark McGwire hit 70.
So he needs 74.
Mark McGwire hit 70, and Bonds hit 71 to break him, and then he ended with 73.
So he needs 74. So he needs 14. He needs
14 home runs and 8 yen. Yeah, that's not happening.
That's average of about that. That's average less than two. That's less than two a game. It's
not happening. But I think if he passes Maris,
technically is the best.
That is a significant moment. And, Yankee Stadium's it's a pitching wedge for my 13-year-old son. I think that's what Stephen A. Smith said. But it is hard to hit 60. There's a reason
only very few people.
There's a reason only six people have ever hit 60 home runs in a year.
Really three. Really three.
No, yeah.
So it's ridiculous.
I think if he passes, then that's a significant moment.
100%.
And the playoff, I think that's going to be the storyline for the rest of the year. And then the playoffs are going to start. And I am excited as hell for the MLB playoffs.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Team's already secured a spot, so I'm good.
The Cubs are
not making it. All right, we're going to move on because we want to wrap this up because we are trying to be done here soon. We're going to move on to this week's duh moments. I've already got three. Lined up.
Okay.
First one, got to go to Jimmy G. Just got to go to the Jimmy.
My top 10
quarterback. Got to go to the Jimmy man.
My top 10 quarterback.
100% top 10 quarterback. What the hell? I don't know. And actually, I said I have three. I really have two, but I'm giving Jimmy G. I'm giving Jimmy G two and one. Because not only did he step out of bounds and get a safety, he also technically threw a pick six.
I'll give you mine. Mine. I mean, mine is Sunbelt Billy going for two.
Okay.
For no reason. What are you doing?
My other one.
Sunbelt Billy is just.
If you guys. Actually, I have three. I do actually have three. One, of course, Bill's coach just literally just absolutely just destroying everything and everyone.
That's really a dumb one, though.
I would say the center. Okay, the center. I'll give him that. My third, though, I told you about this. For those of you who have not seen this, Tyreek Hill, after the win, was celebrating. And let's just say he had had a little bit to drink. And he thought it would be funny to say, Usain Bolt, I can beat that man in a race. I'll race him anytime. And then proceeded to drink two more beers, just absolutely destroyed them.
How old is Usain Bolt now?
Usain Bolt, I want to say he's like 35. Usain Bolt, maybe? I don't know.
Because Usain Bolt's the fastest man to ever live.
He was born in 86, which, quick math.
He's 34, 36.
36, I was right. I was almost right. I said 35. And Tyreek Hill's, what, 27?
I think maybe now he could, but like.
No, he couldn't. Usain Bolt is still.
Oh, yeah.
He still runs in the Olympics.
I changed my mind. No, he couldn't. No, he doesn't. He's not an Olympian
anymore. Did he not run it anymore? No. He did last Olympics.
He retired. The 2020
was his last one.
No, 2016 in Rio was his last one.
Oh, I thought he ran 2020. No, I could have sworn he did. He didn't. But no, he still literally he. I want to say his 100-meter dash. The closest person to him was almost a full second off.
Oh yeah,
which is ridiculous in 100. It's ridiculous. And Tyreek Hill is a monster. I want to say he ran a, what, 4.31?
Yeah, it's not Usain Bolt speed.
It's not. That's only a 40. So that would be almost.
I know Tyreek Hill is insanely fast. He probably could make the Olympics.
The only difference, and everybody says this, when Usain Bolt runs, he looks like a cheetah. Literally, the way he runs, his bones bend, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I want to give an honorary duh moment to Oklahoma's defense.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I mentioned this. It was third and six. They were down by 7. Kansas State had the ball, 3rd and 16 with like 2 minutes left. So if they get a stop here, they get the ball, they go for 2 minutes, it'll tie the game. They drop everyone into coverage. They rush 3. Adrian Martinez steps up on 3rd and 16 and runs up the middle and then cuts to the sidelines for like 40 yards and brought them inside the 10 and cost them the game.
Also, another honorary dumb moment, my last one. Congratulations, Arkansas. You take the crown with an honorary duh dink off the field goal post. And that is it for my dumb moments.
See, it's hard to... I would say the punt off the ass, but like it's hard to laugh.
Oh, I forgot about... That's the other one I had. But I was like, what is it?
But it's hard to laugh at them because of that, because they won the game.
They won the game, and...
I forget what his name was.
It's my new favorite quote.
The up man for the Dolphins. I can't remember his name. They asked him about it, or he goes, you know, I got a big fat W imprinted in my ass now.
And it's true. So, I mean, the man's beast. I mean, what can I say?
He does. I got the win.
All right. I think.
I guess we're done.
I think we got to wrap it up. We're going to get kicked out of here one way or another eventually. Yeah, 3 o'clock. No, I know. We've only here until 3. It's almost 3. But, yeah, we'll just wrap it up a little early. That way we can make sure we clear out in time. But, well, that will be it for today's show. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. And make sure once again to go and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at @Bloomington_buddies. We appreciate everyone tuning in today. And make sure to also click the like button below on this video. It'll mean the world to both of us. And make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will be back with another show hopefully on Friday. But until then, I'm Eddie Finn.
Quincy Bell. See y'all Friday, where we will preview
college and NFL. Yep. Preview. Everyone have a good night.